Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and last time we heard the second part of a three-part broadcast, which is a fascinating story featuring the journey of Dr. Christopher Yuan and his mom, Angela. At one point in his life, Christopher was a homosexual drug dealer who landed in prison, but then God got a hold of him, and now he's a professor at Moody Bible Institute. Christopher and his mom, Angela, travel all over the world speaking to thousands of people on the issues of homosexuality, HIV, and AIDS. They co-wrote a book together titled Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. So let's go ahead and get into the story. Here now is Christopher Yuan, Angela Yuan, co-host Dr. Meg Meeker, and myself for part three of Out of a Far Country on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Christopher and Angela, your story is so impactful, and there's so much to it that we're already on day three. And I appreciate you sticking around this long. It's got to be exhausting. You were at a conference this morning speaking and doing Q&As, and now you're here. So I really do give you my thanks, and I know our listeners do as well.
Great. So good to be back with you, Ryan.
So here's what I'm going to do. We've aired a presentation that you gave that kind of gives this story. We've gotten much more in-depth here. But because we don't have a ton of time today left, let's briefly summarize the rest of your story so we can get into things that weren't in the presentation. But what we'll do for the listeners that are like, but I missed that first time, we have a link today on the app and on our webpage for that first presentation. So if you want to get more of the backstory, by all means, we would encourage you to listen to that. And again, when that broadcast played, more shares, more likes, more comments than any other broadcast we've had. I mean, it really knocked out of the ballpark. But where we left off is you're in dental school and you come home and come out to your parents and your mom gives you the ultimatum of it's family or this lifestyle. And so you're telling your mom, I'm sorry, this is who I am. This is how I was born. And if you can't accept me, well, then you can't, if you can't accept this part of me, which is me, because you were using this as your identity at this point, then I'm going to accept my other family.
Right.
Which is what they were calling
because
it.
I mean, and I wanted that freedom, so this was a good thing for me. They're the ones that kicked me out, in a sense.
Yeah. When you did say last time you were kind of forcing that issue,
I did force it. Yeah.
So
and that was one thing that we decided, my mom and I, that when we wrote our book, that it would be from two perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote from the first person narrative. My mother wrote chapter one. I wrote chapter two. My mother wrote chapter three. So because oftentimes, you know, we look at our prodigals and think, what in the world are they or were they thinking? And not to justify the way I was thinking, but it helps us to get into the skin of prodigals to see that, well, unfortunately, I mean, I thought I was the victim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was the one that was kicked out of the home. They're the ones that are forcing the issue. But really, I was kind of forcing the issue. Mm-hmm. But from my mother's perspective, as she told her story, I was the one that rejected the home.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and for a mom, especially a Chinese mom, family is everything.
Everything.
Right. And appearances are very, very important. And so now you've got a son who has rejected you and your beliefs and the rest of your family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be devastating for you.
I just thought he would even give up his career, you know, his future.
Yeah.
And his life is going to be down to the drain and everything is over.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, at this point, again, you'll have to hear the first broadcast. You were having trouble with your own marriage and your husband wasn't being supportive of you. And so, I mean, this just compounds it.
Yeah.
And so let's pick up that part of the story, Angela. What did you then decide to do?
Well, my parents was not agree with our marriage anyway, so I cannot go back to my parents.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's nobody in this world will support me anymore. So there's nothing left for me to live on. So I decided to kill myself.
Yeah.
I was really determined. There's nothing. Not only that, I don't have any face, we call it in Chinese, to see anyone, stranger or friend or relative.
Yeah,
this is just too shameful. When I came to this country, I gave up my full scholarship, and I just want to be a mother and a wife. And here. Yes.
And here you are, you're not going to get to be either.
Neither.
Oh, my goodness. So.
Yeah, somehow that the whole night I couldn't sleep. I was crying and crying, but I just thought, before I'm going to kill myself, I want to go to tell Christopher goodbye, because we are always very close. Yeah. But then also I thought, I want to see a minister. Yeah. Just to, I cannot tell anybody. I feel like I still have to tell somebody, you know. But I have the impression that a minister is a safe person to tell.
Right.
Yeah. You know, not my parents or not my brother or sister. And my husband was teaching at a Loyola Dental School, and there is a chaplain. So I want to go to see Father Charlie. He was the chaplain. So when I go to see him, he gave me a pamphlet.
Okay.
He's talking about homosexuality. And I had a pamphlet, and I left home. And I thought this would be my last day of living on this earth.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't want to live another day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though I don't remember what he said, because I have already determined nothing going to keep me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Angela, I have to ask, at this point, you hated Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why go to a pastor? Why go to a chaplain?
Yeah, I thought he is a safe person to tell my story. Mm-hmm. And it's not...
Because it was embarrassing for you, and he can't tell anybody else,
right.
So it's a safe place to...
Right, it's a safe person to talk to. I know my husband was a Catholic. Mm-hmm. I remember he told me that when he go to church, he has to confess, and the father cannot tell anybody. So I thought, okay, that would be a good person to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... And he gives you a pamphlet, and then
a pamphlet, and
you head down to tell Christopher goodbye.
Yeah, and I didn't bring anything because I was not even going to drive a car. I don't want anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had my purse. I get on the train to Louisville, just plan to say goodbye for the last time to Christopher.
And what happened on the train?
I have the pamphlet on my hand, and besides my purse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was start reading the pamphlet, you know, just because I was hours and hours ride from Chicago to Louisville. I remember I have to get off the train and get on the bus, you know, Greyhound bus. And I was just reading that pamphlet. And just the Holy Spirit spoke to me and about the unconditional love. That was the first time I heard about Jesus Christ's love that was unconditional. You know, he would love homosexual even though that was a sin. Mm-hmm. And he would love any sinner. That's, you know, even though right now I know I don't want to tell the gay community love the sinner, hate the sin, but that was the first time I understood. You know, you can be a sinner, but God still loves you.
He does.
Right. You know, that was just totally, I got it. Then I just realized God was love me. Nobody loved me in this world, but God loved me.
And you felt it.
I felt it, and I heard the voice from him. He said, you belong to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sounds weird, but it just... I don't know how to express it. You know, when I get back, and I know nobody will believe me, but that was the moment I experienced God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's amazing is after the train ride, every day and every incident, I feel God was with me. He brought me to the person I need to see. Everything. It was totally amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And I convicted my own sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, another amazing thing is when I realized I was a sinner, I feel relief.
Mm.
You know, because before, I have to try to be good. I try to be perfect.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized I am a sinner,
mm-hmm.
but God still loved me.
Absolutely. So did you actually go to see Christopher that
day? Yeah, so I went to see Christopher, and so I can tell him I still love you. Before, see, I cannot tell him I can love him.
So
right, okay.
I'm almost speechless. You get on a train ready to tell your son goodbye and you're going to end your life. You don't bring clothes, a bag, anything at all. And on that train, you find the Lord. And instead of going to say goodbye, you go to say, I love you. I couldn't say it before, and I do love you. Jesus loves me unconditionally, and you're going to love your son unconditionally.
Right. It's just so amazing that I was able to tell Christopher, yes, I do not agree what you are doing, but I love you.
Wow. And, you know, oftentimes people just say, oh, Christians hate gays and lesbians. But in our story, my mom, before she came to Christ, could not find it in herself to love her gay son. But only after coming to Christ, she realized that she could do nothing other than to love her son.
Wow.
Christopher, did you know she was coming that day?
I didn't.
You didn't? She shows up out of the blue.
It was a surprise. You know, the secretary, you know, at that time I was already beginning to see patients, so I thought it was a patient in the front, at the front desk. So I went to the front desk and she said, some ladies out there, you know, out on the sidewalk. I was like, on the sidewalk. So I walked out.
Were you
out
a dentist
there.
At this point?
No, I was a dental student, but in my junior year, we begin seeing patients.
Right.
So
I
didn't know what it was. I walk outside and I saw my mom. I'm like, what are you doing here? You know, thinking this is not supposed to be happening. This is not part of the script. And she said, I love you. I was like, whatever. And but she stayed for 6 weeks. She didn't want to go home. And a lady discipled my mother for 6 weeks, bought her a Bible. My mom began reading books.
So you stayed in Kentucky for 6 weeks?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
She didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
Because, you know, her and my dad were, you know, I mean, they didn't have a good marriage. And so she's like, why go home?
Christopher, did you know that your mother's original intent was to come say goodbye?
No. I knew nothing.
Okay.
No.
Wow.
And I didn't care. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I at that point, I just, all I wanted was me. All I wanted was my freedom, you know, I would say. Yeah. I got to just be who I want to be. And if you can't accept me, then I don't have time for you. You know, that's kind of that mentality.
Yeah.
I had no idea. But after a while, I had known that there was something strange, different going on. I mean, she came to say, I love you. That's strange.
And she stayed with no clothes and...
No, yeah, I mean, you know, eventually she, you know, would go to, I don't know, Goodwill or something. I mean, she literally had no...
Salvation Army.
She did not pack her suitcase.
Right. Did she stay with you for 6 weeks?
No. Okay. I would not let her stay there.
I ran the extended stay.
Extended stay apartment.
So you're still pretty angry.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would go visit her every once in a while and, you know, just to pay my respects, but just, it was just a nuisance.
Yeah. More of a duty than actual...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I would see the Bible on her, you know, and just I thought, what's going on? Just it was really strange.
Yeah. Okay, Christopher. I know I feel like I'm not going to do the story justice.
Yeah, definitely.
But your mom stays for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And your marriage wasn't going good. You go back home.
Yeah.
How long until your husband finds the Lord after you get back home?
I believe that was like just a few months, 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then your marriage starts turning around.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting better and better.
Yeah.
So they're doing good.
So they didn't get a divorce.
Right.
They already actually began the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And so so I saw that change, but I was just like, whatever, good for you, not for me. I kept heading in the opposite direction, running from God.
Mm-hmm.
While in dental school, you know, in graduate school, I began doing drugs, going out to the clubs. I mean, that's what people do when you go out to the clubs. I'm not even talking about gay clubs. I'm just any club, you know, that you're going to be drinking or doing drugs. And not all gays and lesbians do drugs. Unfortunately, that's just part of my story. Doing drugs, I began selling drugs. Eventually got expelled from dental school.
Did they find out you were selling drugs?
They didn't know that, but what I was expelled was because I was never in school. You know, I was flying to Miami on the weekends, and the weekends would turn into long weekends, and I would leave Fridays, you know. And then, you know, Wednesday nights would be a big night at the club, so, you know, I'd be late for classes or don't go to morning classes on Thursday. And
I got to ask, are you happy? Are you having fun? Are you enjoying life? Are you feeling satisfied and fulfilled?
You know, if you ask me then, I would have said definitely. Because if there is no God and there's nothing more to life than just the here and now, live it up.
Yeah.
Might as well make the best of it. I mean, yes, life is going to, you know, have its ups and downs, but I'm just making the best out of it. So am I happy? I would have said yes.
Right.
You know, you know, even people in the gay community, are they happy? I mean, I would say, and I think we need to have a shift in our paradigm because, man, I didn't come to Jesus to be happy. And I didn't even come to Jesus for fireproof insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. It's important for people to understand this because I think there's a segment of the Christian community that says, well, you can't be happy.
Yes.
If you're not with Christ, you can't be happy.
Right.
But you were as happy as you could be.
I could be.
Not knowing what a relationship with Christ does.
Yeah.
Not knowing what true fulfillment and acceptance and what Angela was experiencing, a real unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the truth is, amongst your friends, if you suddenly woke up one day and said, you know what, I don't have these feelings anymore, and I think I want to start dating girls, they'd be furious.
Right.
Then you're rejecting them. So it was not unconditional acceptance. Mm-hmm. It was, if you want to live this lifestyle with us, we'll accept you. Mm-hmm. So I think when we see people and you're like, oh, well, they can't be happy.
Yeah.
Well, they're as happy as they can be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so I wouldn't say I was miserable. I mean, honestly, my friends in the gay community, they're nice. They're good people. Mm-hmm. They're hard workers. They're successful in what they do. We had lots of fun. They were there for me for ups and downs. And this is one thing that I say often. I did not leave pursuing gay relationships because I thought it was so bad. I didn't leave it because I thought it was sin. I didn't even leave it because I thought it was somehow unhealthy. I left it because I found something better.
Ah.
And his name is Jesus. And I think, I hope that that can help us as we reach out to those who don't know Christ. I don't know if our main goal is to show them how wrong they are or how much of a sinner they are. Not to say that, I mean, when we know the gospel that we need to understand those things, but maybe we just need to show that, man, I mean, Jesus is better.
Yeah.
Jesus maybe, is better than.
And maybe if our focus becomes taken off of, you know, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you're doing wrong, and I love you, but I don't like what you're doing wrong. Just sort of skip over that and say, let me show you Jesus and let Christ deal with that whole confusion.
We got a lot of those questions online, and I have to be honest, I think a lot of people try to do the work of the Holy Spirit of telling people how bad they are and how unhappy God is with them, when the Holy Spirit can do that on his own.
Yeah.
And if you find out how great Christ is, you want to stop doing bad things because it's so much better with Christ.
Right. I mean, I think our goal, I mean, evangelism has to be Christocentric. Mm-hmm. It has to be. It can't be focused upon the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Because following God's law won't make sense if you don't have Christ.
Right.
You have to have Christ first. And we have to, in all that we do, because I'm not at all minimizing the severity of sin at all. I'm just wondering if, and the reason why I say that is because I look at my experience. My parents did not come at me with the Bible in hand and pointing me to the 6 passages in Scripture that's condemning homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They were just parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked with me. They loved me. They, you know, and you know, it was, they showed me Christ. And when I say love, it's not just do whatever you want to do and don't judge me, but it was pointing me to Christ. That's the most loving thing, showing what Christ has done in their own lives. And I think that was really key that I needed to see. But yeah, I mean, my
Chris,
friends,
but I got to interject just so for those that didn't hear the first program that we did with you, not of these 3 days, but of the one we aired a month or so ago. In between this and you finding Christ, you get kicked out of school, you don't get your degree in dentistry, you continue to sell drugs, and you wind up in prison for selling drugs.
Yes.
So there is a lot more to the story. It's in the book, and it's on the last program.
Yeah.
I got to ask, so many people online are asking, how do I... And I'm asking the question too, because I want to stand up for the sanctity of marriage.
Yes.
And I want to love my friends who are in the gay lifestyle. And I want to share Jesus with them. And yet it's such a touchy, volatile subject. I mean, it's like I'm juggling lit torches standing in a pool of gasoline. I mean, one tiny deviation and the whole thing blows up.
Right.
And I've been in that situation, and I don't want to hurt people.
Right.
I want to show them love of Christ. Mm-hmm. So are you saying it's best not even to begin to talk about homosexuality?
Well, I think that when we are interacting with those who don't know Christ, we don't need to start with their sin.
Yes.
I think that we need to, you know, I love the parable, you know, that when Jesus talks about the sower. God is the sower. He sows the seed. The seed is the gospel, and it lays upon different soils, and the soil is, you know, that's us. Mm-hmm. And so there's hard soil, there's ready soil. Sometimes, you know, the soil needs to be prepared. So there's kind of like some pre-evangelism work. Sometimes we're just, we want to just start sowing the seed and the soil isn't ready yet.
Right.
There's always a time for truth, but we need to be sensitive for when is the best time for truth. Because if the truth comes too early, man, that could be just building up walls right away, and then it'll be much harder for you to share with them about Christ. So I wouldn't say that, and so I'm talking about not just the issue of homosexuality, but any other sin. You know, if I have a friend who's sleeping with his girlfriend or someone who just moves in and I know he's sleeping with his girlfriend and I come over and bring a casserole, I won't say, oh, welcome to the neighborhood. You know that you're sinning. I mean, that just, I would be developing relationships.
Right.
Hey, what do you do? And then, you know, hope that I'm not looking for every opportunity to tell him that he's living in sin. Honestly, I'd be looking for every opportunity to tell him about Jesus first.
Yeah.
And because it's for me, it was Jesus first. Jesus first. And then once you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit that convicts you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when when you have the Holy Spirit, that's when sin makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christopher, how did you become a Christian?
It was the Word of God. More than anything else, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands.
In prison.
And, you know, in prison, I had all this time on my hands, and they give you Bibles for free. So I began reading it from cover to cover. And I have to really be honest, I initially wanted my cake and eat it too. I thought, oh, okay, there's a God, there's Jesus, he loves me. So obviously if he loves me and if my sexuality is who I am, well, then God loves my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, if you can follow that logic, but where that logic is faulty is identity. So it took about a year for me to realize, no, my identity is not in my sexuality. I don't say that I'm gay. I don't say that I'm homosexual. I don't say, you know, my identity shouldn't be found. You know, I'm not ex-gay. I'm not straight. I think that my identity shouldn't be found at all in my sexuality. You know, my identity as a child of the living God must be in Jesus Christ alone. After I began living this holy life, that's when I would realize what God was calling us to. Not heterosexuality, not homosexuality, but something that I call holy sexuality. And I talk about in our book that holy sexuality, as I read through the full counsel of God, there's only two options. One, if you're married, complete faithfulness to your spouse of the opposite sex. If you're single, complete faithfulness through abstinence. And, you know, I think as the church, we're missing that component on singleness. And so I believe that as we continue to emphasize and celebrate the beauty of marriage, and there's only one definition for that we find in Scripture between a husband and a wife, we also at the same time need to celebrate the beauty and gift of singleness. Because if we only focus upon, you know, marriage at the expense of singleness, well, then that might perpetuate the idea that singleness is unfair, and so therefore everyone must get married. Mm. So I think we have to have that healthy balance of saying, you know, these two are gifts. Do they both have challenges? Yes,
yeah.
But they both have blessings.
Mm.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. Christopher and Angela, you are just, God bless you, and he does. I can see he's blessing you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for these hours that you've given us. Wow.
Thanks, Dr. Meg. So
and please, if you ever come to Traverse City, please come in the summertime and let me take you out for dinner. I would love to meet you face to face.
And when you write your next book, please come back and join us again.
Oh, man. Love to.
Good. Thank you both. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, what a powerful story. You've been listening to the conclusion of a fascinating broadcast with Dr. Christopher Yuan and his mom, Angela, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you need more information about the Yuans or their book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, you can call us at 877-732-6825 or visit our website at drjamesdobson.org. We also have many other resources available on the topics of homosexuality and raising kids. In particular, my dad's book, Bringing Up Boys, has an entire chapter devoted to the origins of homosexuality in men. And my dad talks through several questions on homosexuality in his book, Solid Answers. You can find either of these on our website, again, drjamesdobson.org, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for being with us today and the past 2 days, and we look forward to seeing you again next time, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.